Hi, welcome to the program. This is nice that we're getting together again like this, isn't it? This has got to stop. I couldn't fall asleep last night right away. Perhaps it's because there's so many things going on in the world that it's making my head spin off. But I couldn't fall asleep. So when I can't sleep, I find something on television that I have absolutely no connection to whatsoever, and it will bore me, and I will fall asleep for probably 40 years. So I'm watching the Shopping Club Network thing there, the QVC, and it's boring me. They have an origami table. It's a shelf that folds up. It's got hinges on it. Ooh, hinges. I've never heard of that before. Folds up, and then if you want it, you unfold it, and it becomes like a cart kind of bookshelf kind of thing. And I'm saying to myself, why? Do I really need to fold up a bookshelf? Either I'm going to have a bookshelf, or I'm not going to have a bookshelf. What person would possibly say, I want to have a bookshelf for 3 days, then I'll take all the books off, fold it up, and I'll never use it again until maybe around the holidays. I'll take out the bookshelf and I'll put some books on it. What are you doing? Just what are you? How complicated does life have to be? Well, that was the beginning of what I thought was the end of that stupid thought process. I go to CVS. I don't know why I go to CVS, but I do. Sometimes I need over-the-counter things that are not under the counter. They're over at the top of the counter, like aspirin, things like that. My doctor says that I should take one baby aspirin every day. And I said to her, why? Am I a baby? Why take a baby aspirin when I'm a grown man? And she said, well, you want a low dosage. I said, how about not taking any dosage at all? How low do we have to go before? Anyway, I don't like to argue with my doctor because she has the ability to surgically open up my chest, and I don't want that done. I fear someday I'm going to go to the doctor's office and she's going to say, look, we got to open up your chest. God, please don't do that. Anyway, so I'm in CVS and I'm walking around, and I go to the As Seen on TV section. And there are various inventions that people have come up with entrepreneurially that apparently a couple of people want to buy. They have a product on the shelf. I couldn't believe this. I could not believe this. They have a product on the shelf that actually helps you put your socks on. Ron, are you serious? Yes. Go to a CVS or a Walgreens. Go to the As Seen on TV section. It will blow your mind. All these things that people invent, put on the shelf, that you kind of say to yourself, what are you, serious? What are you, kidding me? What are you, what? And some of these products were on Shark Tank. And I'm starting to think those sharks on Shark Tank, those people, they're starting to miss the boat on a lot of stuff. They're starting to go a little bit crazy. I'll invest $500,000 in a fork that only has one tine on it. What? Why can't things be just good enough the way they are? Why do we have to invent something for every possibility? So this was a product that was on the CVS shelf, and I don't remember the name of the damn thing, but it helps you put your socks on. It looks like a plastic leg brace, and you put this thing on the floor. You put your foot in this little plastic mold thing. But first you put the sock on the plastic mold, then you put the plastic mold on the floor, you stick your foot in the plastic mold, and then pull the sock up. And this is a sock helper, I suppose. It's like hamburger helper for socks. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, all right, let me figure this out here. First of all, does most of America have problems putting their socks on? I guess there's a certain segment of the population that might. But before they invented this little plastic thing that you stick your foot in and then you pull the sock up over your foot, I think people were living well. I don't think human beings were going around saying, I'm going to kill myself. I cannot get my socks on. I'm life is over as I know it. I can't put my socks on. Come on. Come on. Figure it out. Live with somebody. Have them put your socks on. If you're to the point where you can't put your socks on, don't put your socks on. Where are your shoes without your socks? I don't know what to tell you. How do you get your shoes on? There's no shoe helper. Well, Ron, there is a shoehorn. Yes, there is a shoehorn. But that's not for people to help them put their shoes on. It's to make the back of the shoe more pliable so you can fit your foot into it. It's not to help you put your shoes on. A sock helper? Are you serious? I would be so embarrassed to go up to the register at a CVS and say, I want to buy this. I assume the CVS cashier would probably start laughing hysterically at me or take a look at my feet to see if there's something wrong with me psychologically as well as physically on my feet. Sock helper? Are you serious? Did I start the show yet? I don't remember. I don't think I did. All right, let me do that. That's proper. Hold on, please. Okay, here we go.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Oh, all right.
Whatever.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good night.
Good night.
It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. How are you? Oh, all right, I did that already. What a wonderful day this is, huh? Ooh-wee. We've got some great guests coming up toward the end of the program today. And that's always an exciting part because nothing else really matters. Well, you are, by the way, may I start the show by complimenting you in order to gain your psychological favor. This makes you like me tremendously, and here's how we do that. My God, you're looking great today. Ooh, what is it? Did you lose weight? You're looking wonderful. Hot, sexy. That's great. Wow. You're just, wow. And look at you're glowing. You're glowing. You're just glowing. It's like life is just glowing for you. You're looking wonderful today. My God, you're looking good. Okay, now you like me. That's what I do every once in a while when I go to cocktail parties. I just walk up to people, I compliment them, and then I walk away, and then I go home. I figure then I've done my job. I mean, you know, I've gone to a social gathering. I've made people like me to some extent. What else is there to do? Why hang around at that point? Go home. If you've accomplished your superficial goal, get the hell out of there. And that's exactly what I do. That's what I do for a living. here's what's got to stop. This phrase that anybody can grow up to be president, that's gone too far. Let's just stop saying that phrase. If I hear one adult say that to their child, I think that the child should be taken away from the home because now that's become an abusive phrase. Anybody can grow up to be president is a harmful concept. It's being played out as we speak. There should be laws and rules where, no, you can't be president. First of all, you have to have an intelligence test to see just how with it you are. That's very, very important. If you fail that, you can't even go near a president. You must be a bit more intelligent than the rest of us. You must also, there must be a quiz as to how well do you know the Constitution and about democratic societies. That also must be a requirement before you can get a job like that. Also, you must sit down with me personally, and I will interview you as far as your personality is concerned. I need all your medical records. I want to know all your financial dealings, all that kind of stuff. If you want to be president, that has to be laid out on the table to my satisfaction. It's not a lot to ask. No, not everybody can grow up to be president, or at least they shouldn't. Case in point, I have a few examples. Anyway, you know, things are just, you know, I'm happy. I don't care. I'm happy. It doesn't matter.
Gray skies are gonna clear up, put on a happy face. Brush off the clouds and cheer up, put on a happy face. Take off the gloomy mask of tragedy, it's not your style. You look so good that you'll be glad you decided to smile. Pick out a pleasant outlook, stick out that noble chin. Wipe off that full of doubt look, slap on a happy grin. And spread sunshine all over the place. Just put on a happy face.
Actually, I can't. That's wishful thinking, but ain't gonna happen. No, this is better.
Crazy.
That's it. That should be the end of the song. That's all you need. The first word of the song and you're done. I don't know why one would go any further than just listening to that. I have no idea. I'm lost here. Look, you know, I have this dream every once in a while that I'm able to sit down with Lion Donald, and we sit down at a table. We're having some lunch. He's eating Burger King and onion rings and Whoppers, and I'm having a salad, and we're talking. And I lean over to Don, and I say, listen, just shut up for a second and listen to me, Don. You are an asshole, and I'm sorry to call you that because apparently you have a prominent position in society, but that does not preclude you from being an asshole. So here's my advice to you. Stop it. Stop it now. Stop it now. Shut the hell up. And stop having people talk for you. Tell them to shut the hell up too. Because you're annoying. You're just annoying. To some people, your policies might be okay, but the way you execute them is like some delusional bipolar freak. You say one thing one day, the next day you change your mind. You're driving everybody crazy. The idea of you in this White House scenario is to be the person that we look up to. Right now, you're the person that we look down to in the depths of hell. So just stop it. Now, here's the problem, Don. You have a personality disorder. You don't have one personality disorder. You don't have two. You don't have three. You don't have four. You don't have five. You've got 2,000 personality disorders, and they're all negatively affecting you. What you need to do is go to your White House doctor who gives you a clean bill of health no matter what, probably because you slip him a $5 bill every time there's an examination. I mean, I know your weight is a lot more than what they say, and your doctor actually said that you could live to be 200. I don't think you can live till Tuesday. So here's the deal, Don. Shut up and take medication, and then go home. Just go home. Go, give it up, go home. You could be playing golf every day, not just every single weekend. I don't think there was ever a president of the United States who like worked Monday through Friday and then on weekends went home on vacation and just started doing social media. There's something mentally wrong with you to a great, huge, incredible level. You need just to go home. Get out of it. Why don't you start your own little Trump radio station or your Trump TV station like Sinclair will do it. And just, you know, just chill, man. Just chill. Just go somewhere. And I know you don't drink, Don, and I think that's the problem. Now, Lord knows if you were an alcoholic and the president, that might be even a bigger problem. So maybe it's not so bad. But you need to get some sleep, and you need to get out of that environment. It's toxic for you. Now, I know that you feel great running the country, and your best buddies are other czars and dictators. You love them because they're able just to dictate. You'd love to do that because that's what you did in business. And people think you were so successful in business, Don. You weren't. You went bankrupt 4 times. This country going bankrupt just once could be a big problem. So you're not as successful as you think. You don't build buildings anymore. You just put your name on them. You that's all you do. And you finagle your money all over the place. Look, if you wanna be a dictator, then go somewhere where you can be one. But not here. Pack up your bags, go home. Let some other Republican carry on for you. You know, Republicans, they're okay, man. It's you that's the jerk. They're okay. I don't even know what you are, Don. I don't know if you're a Republican, a Democrat, or just some type of egotistical, maniacal dictator. I think it's the latter. You're not fit for this. Let some Republican who has ethics and morals and intelligence and respect, let that Republican build the Republican Party back up to something that people can connect to, that come up with some good ideas. This side of the aisle has these ideas. This side of the aisle has those ideas. They sit down, they work them out. They listen to each other. They work it out. They don't threaten and call people names and say they're stupid and it's their fault and it's his fault and it's her fault. And Don, the United States of America is not a junior high school hallway. Please, Don, you don't have the ability to shut the hell up. So pack the bags and get the hell out, please. Then you can have affairs with all the women you want. You can abuse women. You can have your questionable attitudes toward minorities and your little racial opinions. You can go do that quietly somewhere. You know, that's what some of America does. They do it quietly somewhere. But you can't do it on a loudspeaker and expect people to love you. Don, I know all you want is love. I understand you. I'm not you, and I'm not like you, but I do understand you. You're a troubled individual. You're a troubled man who's looking for attention, looking for love in all the wrong places. I feel you, Don. I get you. You're a man possessed. You're a man possessed who's just looking for a little bit of love. But this isn't the way to do it. This is not the way to do it. You're looking for love from a small number of people. Probably about 33% of the country, who will stand behind you. You can shoot them in the middle of New York City. No one's going to do anything about it. The other 66% will hang you, but the 33 won't. But these 33% people, they give you the love. They give you the attention. They applaud. They smile. They go crazy when they see you. And I understand that feeling, Don. It's a feeling that you must have every day of your life, like breakfast cereal. I get it. I get you, Don. I get you. But this isn't the place for you. you don't belong here. You belong somewhere else. You belong in a place where they have guards at the door and don't let you out and don't let you wear civilian clothes because you might mix into society by mistake. You belong in a place where you won't do harm to other people, where you won't destroy democracy, where you won't destroy this country's standing in the world. You can't just do things off the cuff like this, Don, and change your mind every 6 minutes and shock people and see what their reaction is. You're not a child. You were supposed to have grown up, but you never did. You're an angry, uncomfortable person. And it's sad. You know, Don, it's the oldest disorder in the book. It's people who have anger of non-acceptance. Don, you say every once in a while that you love the fight, you love the chaos. You create the chaos in order to be recognized, in order for people to turn in your direction as you stand there and say, I'm Don, look at me, look at me, look at me. You have to be on the top all the time. No one can steal your spotlight. Once you have it, you never let it go for any way or any reason. It is the oldest psychological study in the world, what you have here, Don. And that is that you attack to defend yourself. Before other people take you down, you take them down. It's an offensive stance. You're on the offense all the time. That way people can't hurt you because you hurt them first. You create this shell of defense around you, and that shell is cannons and warriors. And you attack to make sure that you can't be taken down because you have to be in the center. You have to be in control. Don, you are a control freak. You've said it yourself. No one else can tell you what to do. No one's smarter than you. Those are not signs of a regular person. Those are signs of a person who's been hurt, who is out of control, who feels that they are in the center, that they are the king, they are the dictator. This is why you are so close to the Chinese leader and the Russian leader. You want to be them. You want to run the country like them. You're a dangerous man, Don, but you're dangerous only in the sense of your disorders and your inability to love, to feel, to understand, to listen. It's a sad thing. And it's sad that you've entered into my life.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps.
My head's spinning too, Dean. Okay, do you have back problems? I do. I'm 6'3". That's the definition of back problems. Chronic back pain is like horrible stuff. So I thought today we'd get an expert in here and talk about chronic back pain and the advances that have been made. Obviously, the message is you don't have to really live with this disability. If you can find a way not to live with it, it's a good idea not to. So let's speak to the doctor and take care of your back pain. Huh? I mean, I know You know, I know you come here for some laughs and maybe something else. I don't know what. Maybe the free food. I don't know. But we also dispense information. I don't want you to have back pain. All right, doctor.
Ron, how you doing today?
How are you today, doctor?
Doing good, thank you.
Great. Dr. Eric Nottweimer joins us now, and he is a neurosurgeon specializing in complex spinal surgery. Mayo Clinic, we're talking about them and about back pain. Boy, back pain is kind of, I guess there are different stages of back pain, but for most people, back pain is a normal way of life.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Ron. About 80% of adults will experience some form of low back pain in their life. So it's pretty common.
Yeah. And especially if you've had an incident somewhere in your life, maybe a car accident or a slip and fall, where and then you get up and you think you're fine, and then years later something manifests. It's just a very tender, vulnerable place in our body.
It really is, Ron. It's the most common cause of job-related disability, mostly from loss of work. It mm-hmm. costs this country about $100 billion a year.
Wow. Well, that's a lot of money. That's more than I have. Doctor, so so a lot of us walk around with back pain, and it's debilitating sometimes. Sometimes it's not. But at what point do we reach the level where we really should be doing something about it?
You know, Ron, I think if patients start feeling that their pain is impeding their activities or really aggravating them, then the first step is a good back strengthening physical therapy program. They should contact their primary care physician. You know, back pain is the second most common cause that people seek medical treatment with their primary care physician, so they know how to initially treat this. They can give them a prescription for a back strengthening physical therapy program with a guided physical therapist, and that's really the first step. And a lot of people will get better with that alone.
Okay. Now, let me ask you a sensitive question that is a little bit off the beaten track here. When there are ailments that are extremely common, there are many various businesses that open up the claim that they can take care of your back pain, minimal surgery, et cetera. Do we have to sort out which kind of places we go to take care of things that are somewhat invasive?
Yeah, I think it's very important, Ron. If you're going to let someone cut on your body and operate on you, then the patient should do their homework on that. And with the advent of our recent technology mm-hmm. age, then it's very easy to get online and look up these institutes that are treating back pain. Sites like Health Grades and just really the general reputation of the institution itself can very easily be found online. You know, another option would be, you know, people in your community who've had surgery in the mm-hmm. past. That's another common cause for referrals to my office. And so, but yeah, the patient should be diligent in checking out who's treating their back.
There is minimal surgery, minimal invasive surgery available for this, which I don't think, if I recall, was available any more than really a decade ago, where back surgery was fairly complex and fairly invasive.
Correct, Ron. The minimally invasive surgery has really taken off over the past decade, and studies show that in the short term, the first week or two after surgery, patients can experience less pain with minimally invasive surgery. Mm-hmm. In most aspects of minimally invasive surgery, you are still accomplishing the same goal. You're putting screws in the spine, a cage in the spine, stabilizing the spine. So the end result is typically the same both clinically and radiographically on x-rays, but it's the method we get to the spine which is different. Instead of spreading muscles, we're splitting muscles, and in turn, that can result in less blood loss as well as make the patient a little bit more comfortable in the immediate days after surgery. But again, the goal typically is the same in each kind of surgery.
If I have back pain that is, making my life a little difficult, would I go directly to a specialist, or would I see my family, there's so many different names for the family practitioner, I guess you would call them, or whatever. Because nowadays, with all the health plans, You have the ability to go directly to a specialist. What's the best route to take?
Well, you know, it depends on the community you're in and the options there are. You know, at Mayo Clinic down here in Florida, we have a spine center where patients can, you know, call, and they have back pain, they can get in the spine center, they'll see a physical medicine rehabilitation doctor, they'll see a pain doctor, they can see a surgeon also all in one visit. In other communities that may not have that, then I would start with the primary care doctor, because he or she can at least give a script for physical therapy, maybe refer to a pain management doctor, and get the first couple steps of conservative treatment for back pain going. And if those don't work, then a referral to a surgeon can be the next step.
Okay. Now, just how do we prevent back pain? I mean, let's say we have minor back pain and our body's telling us to be a little bit careful here. What can we do to not to get to that extreme situation?
Well, I think the most important thing, Ron, is just taking good care of yourself and making sure you're in good health. And people who are overweight or obese, you know, if you just try carrying around a 25-pound weight on your back or on your belly every day, then your back's going to start hurting. And so losing weight, I think, is essential to help prevent the progression of back pain. And many patients that lose weight, if they are overweight, will get improvement in their back pain after they lose weight. Smoking can directly contribute to back pain.
Really?
So patients, if they quit smoking, some patients can realize an improvement in their back pain. So a lot of it is, you know, like we avoid the other diseases that that come our way, is being proactive and taking good care of ourselves.
Well, let me ask you about my nemesis, exercise. What does that actually help? Back pain, or must you kind of be careful if you do have certain sensitivities in your body? How does that work?
Well, if people have back pain already, I always say swimming and cycling, I think, are good ways to get some good aerobic exercise that that really takes the stress off the spine. Swimming more than cycling. And there are some patients I see that are chronic runners. They need to run every day. And, you know, I always tell them if they have to run, try to run on the treadmill. Treadmill has some give on it as compared to running on hard pavement. And so if people feel the need, they really want to run, then I would recommend running on a treadmill. A brisk walk is always a good way to get aerobic exercise, but really the swimming and the cycling, I think, are the most back friendly aerobic types of exercise that people can do.
You know what's funny but isn't funny is that at a certain age, you know, you can be very, very active and you're just fine, but then you go to sleep at night and you wake up in the morning and I slept wrong, now I have back pain. It's just like you can get back pain from sleeping wrong.
You're exactly right. And, you know, as we get older, our joints, osteoarthritis settles into our joints, and we have multiple joints in our spine. And so if you're laying in one position that night and then you get up and try to move those joints again, people will experience pain. There's some patients that have pain that's worse in the morning and better as the day goes on, and that typically means that, you know, their osteoarthritis is setting in, and staying active is a good way to help prevent progression of that.
So correct me if I'm wrong, the message would be if your life is being impeded by this, then do something about it.
Yeah, you're exactly right, because there's a lot of non-surgical therapies that can be done, and a majority of patients will get better without surgery. Okay. And if a patient comes to surgery, the patients that have been really maximized on non-operative therapy are the best ones that will do good with surgery if they fail that non-operative therapy. There are some places out there that will just go to the knife really quickly with patients and not give them a chance to get better with conservative therapy, but really, a majority of patients will get better with non-operative therapy, and it's best to maximize that prior to considering surgery.
Okay. Where do we get more information?
www.mayoclinic.org. You have a lot more information on our website there.
Thanks for bringing this to our attention, Doctor. Pleasure speaking to you today.
Ron, it was a pleasure being with you. Thanks a lot.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right, there you go. I feel better already. I don't know how, but I do. We're out of time for today. I'm going to be back again tomorrow with another show. That would be great. I apologize, I guess, to to Lion Don there. I guess it was a little hard on him, and I kind of feel bad about it, but hell, you know, whatever, you deserve it. Okay, you have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful day, and I wish you peace.